Hey.
Hey. So this is really exciting. This is our first recorded podcast video thing.
Holla.
Let's go.
All right. We got lots of stuff to talk about because it's our first one. But we're going to talk about current events first, right? Like what we're doing?
Yeah.
On Brown Girls. So most current or what's coming up is our self-care series. So I'm really excited about that because we've been planning this since day one.
Yes, it's definitely something that we are constantly talking about and reminding each other to try to find self-care when we can, knowing that it's essential because as Brown Girls, it's something that we just don't really do often.
Mm.
Because we're always busy taking care of other people, whether, you know, you're at work, working a full-time job, or taking care of kids, or your spouse, or your parents, or, so we really need to be mindful of taking care of ourselves. So, what better way than to use the platform that we have to celebrate and honor, and empower women of color than to remind them to care for themselves, and to share ways that we care for ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah.
The question that we ask, or, you know, that we're always asking ourselves is what does self-care look like for each of us? Because it's different. Not everybody has the same needs.
Or the means.
Right, right. Or the abilities, right? So when we talk about self-care, or when I talk about self-care, I'm talking about it through my own personal experiences, life as a mom with six kids, a husband who's disabled, working head of household, those types of things. But I realize that's for me, and there might be some similarities and overlapping between us, but it's not my self-care things aren't necessarily everybody's self-care things. So
right.
I think that's what we're trying to explore through the series is to really take a look and see all the different ways self-care manifests in all the different Brown Girls and femmes.
Right. So what does self-care mean to you? If we're asking you, what does self-care mean to you, your definition? And why is it important?
Self-care to me is a discipline. It's not easy. It's not one of those things. It's not, you know, it's topical. Get my hair done, get my nails done, you know, all those, and all of those things are important and part of self-care, but it's a little bit deeper. It's like a daily practice or a daily discipline of putting yourself on the list.
Hmm.
For me, that's how it, you know, that's how I try to be conscious, because it's not always about doing things that feel good. It's about
right.
doing things that are good for me,
mm-hmm.
even when I don't necessarily want it, whether it's taking meds or whether it's seeing doctors or going to the dentist, which I hate.
No one loves going to the dentist.
But that's part of self-care, you know, and you make the appointments if you have children for your kids and for your husband or whatever, and you're like, I'll get to my shit later.
And then 2 years have gone by and you still haven't, you know, gone to that.
My teeth are falling out. Right.
Right. I think for me, to answer that same question, it probably looks similar of, you know, what is self-care? Of kind of doing things that are maybe a little bit spoiling yourself. I think for a long time when I first started work as an activist and thinking of finding ways to indulge myself and doing things that I normally don't do, like, okay, well, I'll go, you know, spend 20 or 30 bucks to go get my nails done. But that's something that, you know, I've done it because it's something that I feel like would make me feel better and I'm able to see beauty on my body. But it also does go deeper, and it's something that I've been learning, really reflecting during the series, but also thinking more after having a second child and realizing how big that leap is from one to two kids. and seeing how little time there is left for me during the day, and me having two versus you having six, I don't even know how you find the time. But doing things that are like basic, very, very basic for most people, things like remembering to drink enough water and giving myself the time and the respect to, you know, try to get at least 7 hours of sleep. So, you know, Asia, it's time for you to, you know, walk away, put your phone down, turn the TV off, walk away from the laundry, stop doing whatever it is that you're doing, and then go rest so that you can start ahead of the game tomorrow with your day. Because I feel like a lot of times I'm like pushing to the limit and then going to sleep and then waking up already behind schedule, you know? And then I feel like I'm rushing through the rest of my day. And that just continues to drive feelings of anxiety and loss of control, and it can kind of easily snowball into a bad place. So I think it's important to maintain self-care. It kind of helps to give you some autonomy back in a world that takes so much from us. And also as a parent, you know, it's a really good example to, especially for our daughters, which I don't have but care about a lot of young girls. It's really important for us to lead by example with that, I think.
Oh, I agree. I agree. It's important for our kids to see us loving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that there's nothing wrong with doing that.
No. Well, we live in a society that reifies endurance. We talked about this yesterday. Even being strong and enduring is seen as a virtuous, and fuck that. I don't agree with that. It's not about how much I can carry. It's about how much I'm worth, and setting those limits. I'm not here for being burdened.
Right.
I'm not here to endure. I want to live.
Right.
I want to have a good quality of life. I don't want to just endure.
Especially because in that endurance, very little of that is actually a benefit for us, you know?
Right.
Like, it's to make things easier for other people and to share that burden or load that are usually not even due to us, to make things easier for other people. Because what is it saying, you know, like the fact that we rarely say no because we're conditioned as girls and as women of color to never say no. Like it's been a lesson, like in the time that we've known each other, to like really be able to accept that no is a complete sentence. Period.
Use it.
Yes.
It's my favorite word. I'm serious.
No, you're allowed to say no.
I mean, you have to. It's not even about allowed. It's because people will take. No one can read minds. If you're not looking out for your own best interests, then I really, it's a rare person who has somebody who's going to do that consistently for you.
Right.
Look out for your best interests. And I just feel that's what the crux of self-care is. Self-care is looking out for me, putting me first, because I should.
Yeah.
My life. Not even, you know, not even your children can live your life for you. Your parent, nobody can live your life for you.
Right.
I want to have a good life as far as being a healthy person, happy,
yeah,
well, you know, and rested. And I don't want to like roll into my grave like mad tired, just done with life, you know, exhausted. Cynical, bitter. I feel like when we don't take care of ourselves, when we don't put ourselves on the list, this is what it comes to. Just constant crankiness, constant bitterness, resentment to people around you in your space, including your own children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says. It gets to be too much. Six kids, I love my children, and whether I had one or six, or I mean, put yourself on the list. That's what it comes down to for me. You got to make time for yourself.
And I mean,
I
think a lot of it, too, is that we don't really, just because, like, we're still trying to break stigmas about mental health and doing, there's so much research that's out there of people kind of just starting to actually pay attention to about how, you know, your mental health does affect your physical health, too.
Hmm.
And I know there's a lot of people who will say, oh, well, you know, you're not depressed. Just go run out in the forest and you'll feel better.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, like that's not really always going to help. It's not going to like solve a big, super huge issues. But, you know, other things, you know, your mental health can help to affect other things. So, you know, you holding these things in and not being able to say no and not having healthy boundaries, it causes dis-ease in your body. And that manifesting in things like, you know, skin conditions and, you know, issues with your liver and your kidneys and your heart.
High blood pressure. Oh, yeah,
exactly. All of these
constant
things.
Constant stress, anxiety, gastrointestinal illnesses.
Yes, very much so.
It stress is a killer. It's a killer. And for women of color and black women especially who are particularly burdened in the society, it is killing us. It is killing us. And that's what makes this, for me, this series, writing about it, inviting other black and non-black women of color to speak on it, to share wisdom between us, it's radical to me. It's not happening anywhere else. In mainstream spaces. And we talk about self-care at spa days, right? It's white women.
I don't have money for spa days. I'm sorry.
Massages and retreats.
Or for long, relaxing baths. No time for that.
I didn't have a bathtub.
Right. You know, doing that, like you say, that the face, it's just like, you know, the face of, you know,
wellness.
body positivity and wellness and mental health and all of the face of all of those things are white women, and that ain't us. And we need it because we go through a lot of other things on the day to day. Part of something that I know is on your self-care list, and I think is actually on mine, and if it's not, then it should be, the kind of nitty-gritty basic self-care things is food. And because food is so important, because we all love food, we also went into a specialized list of self-care foods. Because we're foodies. We like
I could
eat.
Never not talk about food. I mean, self-care and food, to me, it goes hand in hand. It's a marriage.
And I think part of that, I think it's humans in general, but also culturally based, where, you know, you might not have a lot of fancy things, but someone is going to throw down in the kitchen on Sunday and use the best ingredients and make the big meal.
Well, that's the thing. Our grandmothers couldn't provide in certain ways, but they could cook for you and they could show you their love through their really resourceful and delicious food. So,
show you how to make it, show you how to pick your ingredients, and also the kitchen being a space for, you know, quality time too. Mm. So, I think that's something that's on my list too. But do we want to talk about our food list?
Well, we can talk about the food list, or we can just continue with this update and do our food list separate.
Cool. We can do that.
I mean, we can, because with this, the food self-care list, which I really do want to get into, but I feel like it deserves its own.
Let it be its own thing.
Its own thing.
Yeah.
And because I want to do that thing with all of the self-care topics we take on, the checklists and the foods and the musics and all of that, because it's we can elaborate, expand, and really get into.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sounds good.
But with that, this series was our opportunity to actually call in some other women of color writers.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to pay them.
Say what?
To pay them.
How exciting.
Which makes me, my soul sing beautiful, beautiful songs.
Yes.
And so this is also special because it opens the door to inviting other women of color and other black women to give us their perspective. And so I'm really excited about that. And for the audience to get to see that and to have more voices than just our two, which are beautiful, but, you know.
Yes, they are beautiful, and we I mean, we just know a lot of awesome people who have just brilliant people. Like, brilliant is probably the word that we use the most. Mm-hmm. But, like, we really genuinely do know a lot of brilliant writers and people who won't call themselves writers, but they are phenomenal writers. So it's nice to see how other people are able to care for themselves, what they consider to be self-care. And a lot of it will... even for me, has helped me put things into perspective to say, well, you know, that is a way that I actually care for myself.
Right.
That is something, just to kind of give value to things that you don't even realize that you're already doing. So that's something that we're excited about. I think we do actually have a page on our website, right?
We have
a new page on our website with that call for content for people who want to write about self-care. And
please submit. Submit. Talk to us, talk to our audience. We want to hear from you. So pitch us. Self-care.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is, well, we talked a little bit about our progress so far. We're paying writers right now. We've grown. I mean, you want to talk about Patreon for a minute?
We can talk about Patreon. I love Patreon. This is something that's kind of been Janina's baby and managing a lot of what goes up there and kind of planning out Patreon. But I love it. It's like this exclusive little this little den of people supporting us and that we get to share content exclusively there. There's some things that only appear on Patreon. There are things that are a sneak peek on Patreon.
They get it
and
first.
Yes, they get it first, which is awesome. And they also get some really cool rewards. I think we have levels where there's a handwritten note, a thank you note, just thanking people for their support. There's another level that has, what is the next one? Oh, they get
note cards and postcards.
Yes, note cards, postcards that come out. And then we also have this, recorded our podcast or
podcast,
which I'm not sure. I think we're probably going to end up doing one or both in the future because I think we're actually going to work out the kinks and this is going to be cool for us to do, video. So you can see our faces or hear our voices or we'll figure it out.
More ways to love us.
More ways to watch us and to follow us.
I'm looking forward to that. And patrons get everything first, and they get to hear our $20 patrons in particular get our podcast absolutely first before it trickles out to anybody else, including even our own blog, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're not currently a patron, you should get on over there right now and become one, patreon.com/browngirlsoutloud. There's all different levels, and there's perks always. So it's not just about you sign up and you get your rewards, and that's great. But as long as you're a patron with us, there's plenty of perks, giveaways, content, and things that we're always producing for you guys. So it's not just a one and done. You get one reward, and then that's it. There's lots to look forward to there.
Right, and even on some of our upper levels, you have the option of helping to create content with us and pitching us ideas about pieces that we could be writing about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just really grateful to have a phenomenal audience there, outside of Patreon as well, but especially Patreon.
We love our patrons.
For people who are, you know, making this a financial commitment to support us. We have this content and it just blows us away to realize that there are so many people who believe in the work that we're doing and who are supporting our mission and who are signing up to send us some dollars every month. So and another thing, like we do love you. We've been able to fold all of that money so far back into Brown Girls Out Loud. So we've been able to invest in merchandise for giveaways. To buy this awesome recording equipment that we've got so far.
Pay our writers.
And paying our writers, you know. So we're trying to give back with what we've been given. So we're just passing the buck, moving along. And also having people feature on our website is also giving exposure to these brilliant people that we know, and adding things to their portfolios and just getting their work, their words out there, and amplifying voices, not just our own. So Patreon is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't believe that we've done so well there in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be this, thing.
Low trickle.
And yeah, but I was wrong, and I'm never wrong. So you guys surprised me. I like surprises. I really look forward to seeing how much we can grow. I like what we're doing, and I love that we're, that money's going right back into Brown Girls and to growing the publication and growing the brand. We have really big, big visions, I think, for this.
We do.
It's in my sanity.
Yes. I think we launched the site on February 1st, I believe.
Black History Month.
Yes, in February we did a series for Black History Month, honoring Black women throughout the diaspora, and that was really great for us to do. We learned about a lot of women who we didn't know a whole lot about, so it was fun to be able to learn a lot and then be able to share that information with everyone else. One person who was a really big highlight for us was Marsha P. Johnson, who... I get chills thinking about her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Janina does too.
She's a hero.
She's definitely a hero for so many different communities, and particularly the trans community. So she was a highlight there. I think we have a list of our progress report of things that we've been able to do in the past several months since we've been up and running.
Well, we've done a tremendous amount because that Black History Month series then turned into printed postcards,
yes,
which our patrons love. Love them, love them, love them. And then we went on to begin our series. So if you're a fan and you're a follower, week to week we have kind of some consistent content. We do a Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yes.
We have our Living Out Loud series.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our Sister Friend Friday. And all of these things celebrate Black women, all types of brown girls doing all types of amazing things. The Woman Crush Wednesday, we try to focus, it's a little fun, right? We try to focus on someone we all really love, all the women.
Moana.
She's a ballsy woman, let me tell you.
She's the best. And we definitely a highlight of doing these, especially the hashtag series, I guess, that we have, is Sister Friend Friday, which is kind of like my baby and pushing people to, like, nominate your friends, nominate your girls, because I know you have them. I know you love people, women and femmes who are out here who are just rocking your world, people who are... the first people to send, the good morning text to your group chat, the first people to see a status that you have on Facebook and be like, girl, what happened? What is this that's going on? Tell me, make sure you're okay.
We love them. We need them, and we need to celebrate them.
Yes.
So that's what Sister Friend is. I think it's one of our more popular, it's becoming one of our more popular posts. And we are getting nominations the first couple of weeks. People were not sure what to do with this. But after everybody got the hang of it, we are getting nominations. We want you to send. This is not, they don't have to be quote unquote successful by any type of standard. They have to just mean something incredible to you.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to be somebody you think deserves being centered for a weekend.
Mm-hmm. And this is a
send
great
it in
way.
To us.
Yes, it's also a great way to have, I know we have a lot of white women supporting us, and we appreciate their support, and this is a great way for them to feel like they are being supportive and to kind of be engaged by nominating women of color that they adore. And we've gotten a couple of our submissions from white women who nominated their black girlfriends. So we're happy to have them participating that way as well.
That's just an awesome post. Love it.
Something else that we've been doing for April, which is almost out, is National Poetry Writers Month. And we've been working on that.
That's been fun. That's been really deep digging there.
Yeah,
deep you're digging. The poet. I think between the two of us, you're the one that's the poet. I'm like, okay. I got a few in me, but you're the one with the magic. That's what we've been sharing on Patreon.
Yeah, so some of them are on Facebook, but they get shared on Janina ends up doing these really pretty graphics for them and gets them up onto Patreon, and those images are exclusive there. And some of the poems, I think, are exclusive there, too. So we definitely have perks, out the wazoo. They're everywhere for people who are supporting.
If you're not on Patreon, you're not getting it.
Not getting it. Go ahead.
That's it. And then next up is our self-care series, and we open the show with that. So
yeah,
I just feel like we've got a lot going on. We're always meeting. Well, we talk every day, and every morning is like a brainstorming sesh.
This is constant, consistent work. Every single day we're working on this.
Yeah.
And planning for things in the future. We didn't talk about Shea Moisture. Are we going to talk about that?
We can. We can talk about it. We can. We've got the giveaway going on now. We've got that video that's hot, hot, hot on Facebook. If you haven't checked it out, people need to see it.
Ooh,
because you can't have done their ass. They deserved it.
They deserved it.
They're going down to like a 1-1-1 rating.
So the very short version, and you many of you don't know me all that well, but I'm extremely long-winded, so I'll try to make it short. The extremely short version is that Shea Moisture was, and I did a long video about this too, but Shea Moisture is a body care company that specializes in hair care products for black women. They originated, the recipe started in Sierra Leone in Africa. And they've been here in the last 10 to 12 years. They've been kind of at the forefront of the natural hair movement. And a few years ago, they sold a large portion of their company to Bain Capital, which has ties to Mitt Romney. And all the naturals were like, hold up, boo. This is not going to go well. We already know they're going to start changing the recipes. They're going to start marketing to white women. And they came out with these statements trying to reassure us that that's not what was going to happen. And lo and behold, almost a year ago, I think, actually it was a year ago, they released this commercial promo with one, I think it was like hashtag breaking down the wall or something like that, with kind of going into like any Target or any store where you go to buy hair care products, and there's an ethnic section, which is where Shea Moisture usually lives, and then there's another section with, you know,
all the other stuff,
and Pert and all these other products that don't really work. Yes, that don't really work on highly textured hair. So that was kind of their first plug at marketing to people who were not people of color. So we were upset, but some of us kept buying stuff. People started actually saying that, you know, the products were changing, but the company still refuted that. So we end up with Monday. I wake up and I got a message from Janina saying, girl, Shea Moisture. And I'm like, I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to go there. And she's like, no. Yeah. She ends up tagging me in this, in a post that one of our friends posted with this promo centering white women, and the one person of color was a very light-skinned brown-skinned woman who had very big loose curls and the like ideal hair texture that all of the most black girls transition for from relaxed hair to natural hair, hoping to get her hair. So there was like no diversity in this commercial. It was directed about hair hate or loving your hair, And that
hair,
you know,
hate, getting over hair hate.
Yes, getting over hair hate, and the one
learning to embrace your hair was that was the theme.
Learning to embrace your natural hair, and there was a redheaded white woman.
Yes, and a blonde.
And a blonde, with straight hair. The redheaded woman was speaking about how she felt so bad about her hair. She hated her hair so much that she dyed it blonde for 7 years. And I'm just like, girlfriend, if that is the worst thing that you have to say about your hair, like, I'm pretty sure that your natural red hair is not getting you fired from your job. It's not, you know, no one's
getting you kicked out of a classroom.
Right. You're not getting suspended for wearing your hair red.
Thrown out of the military.
Yes, yeah, like there are not rules about the hair color of your natural hair written in military requirements for your uniform.
And I can guarantee there's no strangers reaching out and trying to run their fingers through your hair on a daily, constant basis.
So yeah. it was just totally tone deaf and ignoring and erasing dark-skinned women like me with kinky hair, or, you know, light-skinned women with kinky hair, but even those women are not the face of even the natural hair movement, let alone general advertisements for hair care. So Shea Moisture got their ass handed. They were dragged to and fro across the internet. Black women were livid. They're five, I think they had, it was a 4.9 when they started out on Monday. 4.9 reviews, their 4.9 out of 5 stars were their review ratings on Facebook on Monday. And it's now Thursday afternoon, and I think it was like 1.8, you said?
It was under 2 and climbing down. Yeah, I mean, it's falling down.
There's like over 8,000 negative reviews, like 8,000.
Well, that was the thing. When I went to do my review, it was 11 o'clock in the morning, and there was, I think, 2,900 for, you know, 5-star reviews, and there was like 75. I was 76, 1 star. And then by the end of the day, that first day, it was like 3,000, 1 star. And now, I mean, it's spectacular, really. Don't fuck with us. That's all I can say is for brands out there who don't understand the power of black women and the mighty dollar, don't fuck with us. If you're representing people for your brand, your core brand, center them, and expanding is one thing. Erasing your core people, the people that made you, no.
And I do want to say that, like, my personal stance, which is we're not a monolith. As women of color, specifically as black women, we're not a monolith. My personal stance is that I don't really care if white people use Shea Moisture because they make good products. I care that the company has altered their products, their recipes, to either cut costs to increase profit, which they didn't do before, or they're doing it so that their products actually work better in Caucasian hair. I need moisture. My hair is fragile. It has extremely high shrinkage. It's very porous. I need moisture. I need to be able to retain it. And that's what those products used to do. And they don't do it so well anymore. So that's where my problem is. Now, I do have friends. I was called up. I saw several people complaining about this, is that I don't want them using my products because they belong to me. And that is totally a valid stance. Totally respect that. But the problem is like there's so few things out there for us that we have the same accessibility to. Because, like, you can go into a CVS and find Shea Moisture, but you can't find, you know, we have this list of, I don't know, it might be like 30 names on it right now. This list.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best parts of all of this.
Yeah, so we have like this list of like 30 plus names with all of these other black owned natural hair care companies. they can't make it onto the shelves at places like Target, where Shea Moisture can, you know? Mm. So those are things that have to be special ordered, and you think of all of the things that go along with that. So that means that someone has to have a credit card, right? Or they have to have a PayPal, right? Or they have to have a bank account, which not all of us do. So it's limiting what is actually accessible to us by, you know, completely converting their product in their market. Even though we were their market that made them this multi-billion dollar company that had Bain interested in them in the first place. But like Janina said, the aftermath of this has really been awesome, that we, people keep saying, well, you know, what else? I need another company to go to. I need someone else to patronize. And Black women come through. And they presented this list that we got this list, and we asked people to just keep giving us names to add to it. And we were happy to continue to upkeep that list, which we're doing. It's on our website. But now people feel like they do have other options, you know, and you have testimonials from people vouching for all these products. And that ended up leading to us having a giveaway. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's exciting. It's our first giveaway, so, and I love giving free shit away.
And we were talking about giving free shit away when we reached 500 follows and likes on Facebook, and these two things kind of, like, happened at the same time, where it was like, well, we've definitely got to do something this week to get something out. And what better
than... And on top
than,
of it, right, it's the hair care and it's self-care, and that was really, like, yay.
Yeah, right?
Fitting. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the first thing we have that we've posted was a product on Facebook, which all you have to do is like our page on Facebook, share our page, and drop a selfie. And
so easy.
It's free. And it's just like
a great product
or something.
Yep.
Because that's another thing that we have beef with Shea Moisture. Our friend Adele pointed out that, like, they even initially they had this product that was at such a high price that we were dedicated to still, but they held this product at a price that was only accessible to a lot of us with BOGO. Because, like, you can, you know, you got $10 for a shampoo and conditioner, and all you can do is afford the shampoo. Like, what are you going to do? So, I don't know. But it's definitely turning out to something more beautiful. One, to see all of these women of color who use this product, see them form together and to use their buying power to take a collective step back. It's beautiful to see that, even though it's kind of unfortunate. But we're not playing with them. We're not.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not in these motherfucking streets. All right. But we have videos on this, and we did posts on this, and we want you to go to Brown Girls Out Loud so you can read all about it. Facebook.com/Brown Girls Out Loud. Brown Girls Out Loud. Before we sign off, we want to do our thanks and gratitude. Well, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Asia first because she's so awesome. I love her so much. I couldn't do this without her. She's her brainchild. She is my business soulmate, my creative soulmate. And then our followers, because you guys make us want to do better for you, for the brown girls who don't get represented. Our mission is to center, uplift, and empower brown girls. That's what we're here to do, is to create a space that is just a reflection of our beauty. And that leads us to our patrons, because they're the ones that allow us to do that. Our patrons are the ones that are helping us keep our domain up and giving us space to create. I wanted to shout out our $20 patrons, if you want to do that.
I'm trying to pull up the list right now.
Because they are really coming into us at a high level, and they deserve our praise.
They definitely do. If I have to give out a list of thanks and gratitude, the first one would be to Janina. Yes, if you're listening, this is what we do. We just, like, love on each other all day long.
We need it.
But she's really, like I said earlier in the show, just brilliant. Like, that's the word to describe her. She's passionate and she's brilliant and she's fun as hell to work with, and everyone loves her, as they should. I also want to thank the people who support us across multiple platforms, because we're everywhere. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we have our website, and there are people who are, like, following us everywhere they can be. And if you're not, you should be. But they really hold it down for us. They share our articles and things, and they really support and love on us. So we truly appreciate them. But for our right now we have $20 reward patrons. The first person we have is our girl Kat. Kathy, we love her.
Thank you, Kathy.
We also have Julie, who we've known in a number of anti-racism groups, and she just holds it down. And we work with her as admin some spaces, too, so that's great. We also have Leslie, who is everybody's girl's girl.
She was on Sister Friend Friday.
She was
Leslie.
Recently on Sister Friend Friday. Mm-hmm.
She's a girl.
She's the shit.
She's the shit.
Shirley, who is my mama Shirley, she is the sweetest, dearest, she's really special, and she was also one of the first people to sign up for our Patreon.
She embraces us wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly. Hi, mama Shirley. And the last person that we have is Ryan, who is one of my friends, and at this point, I don't even remember where I met her. which is kind of hilarious. It actually might have been in a feminist space that we both ended up backing out of, because turns out they were transphobic, they were terse, and we don't do that. But she's been a gift. All of these people have been gifts to us, supporting us from pretty much from the start, or even before that, and just inspiring us and motivating us to keep going with their support. So shout out to all of them. Shout out to everyone else who is supporting us via Patreon. Anything else you want to add?
And everywhere. I love you guys. I mean, I love doing this work, so I feel blessed. Yay. My Grinch heart.
She's always talking about her little black heart.
I do have a little black heart.
And her Grinch heart, but she's really, I swear she's got the biggest heart. I'm sharing her secrets, but I think that's pretty much it. We will catch you guys on the flip.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And take care.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.